Good morning, everybody. If you would join me in a quick word of prayer. Father God, give thanks for this day that you have made and that we can have a fresh start this morning, Lord. And we desire to seek you, start the day with you, Lord, this morning, and you know, really align ourselves with your will, your ways, God. And yeah, just be so connected to you. So Lord, would you help us to really connect with the word today, Lord? Put something on our hearts and minds to carry us through this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians 13, and this is part 7, or maybe just title it Believe All Things instead of so many parts so it's more clear. But we're going to read from verse 4, finish at verse 7. All right, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind, it is not jealous. Love does not brag, it is not arrogant, it does not act disgracefully. It does not seek its own benefit, it is not provoked, does not keep an account of wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It keeps every confidence, it believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Oh, and endures all things. That's it. Sorry. Okay. So last week when I shared, the last one we did was it keeps every confidence. Often also maybe the better translation is it covers all things. And today it believes all things. It believes all things. And I, as I was thinking about this aspect of love, I think oftentimes this is the one we probably overlook and don't consider when we're talking about love, right? And so what does it mean when we say love believes all things? Remember, we're talking about relationships here, right? That's why Paul is sharing this as it pertains to personal relationships, love. And so I want to just clarify what it's not, right? So believing all things, when we're talking about love and believing all things, it's not just always, how do you say? It's not like whatever anyone says, it's not then you're not going to get manipulated and tricked, right? You know, there's old movie, there's this Leonardo DiCaprio movie, Catch Me If You Can. And in this movie, he basically is tricking everybody by saying words that and saying things that is very believable, right? And everyone ends up believing, and he ends up tricking everybody and gets away with a lot of things. There's recently on Netflix, there's like, what was this? There was Tinder Swindler, and there was also, thank you. Inventing Anna. I wanted to call it Believing Anna or Forgetting Anna. It was called Inventing Anna. And it was about, based on a true story of this woman. Her name was Anna Sorkin. And she just made up stuff. It was crazy. She just kept making up stuff. People started believing her. Even famous people, celebrities, lawyers, bankers. And then as one person believed her and vouched for her, then other people would also believe her. And she ended up like getting a loan for, I don't know, like millions and millions of dollars, right? And she just kept claiming she had a crazy inheritance that was coming. It was coming, but it never came. And so when we're talking about believing all things, that's not what we're saying, right? Just whatever someone says, we just believe them and you get tricked. That's not what we're saying. So what are we saying? In one sense, it's not about believing a lie. That's not what it's about. But we never believe evil unless the facts demand it. Right? And really, when it comes down to believing in all things, it's we choose to believe the best of others. Remember a few weeks ago, as part of what isn't love is it does not keep an account of wrong suffered. Because if you keep an account of wrong suffered, you are believing the worst of things in someone. And instead, when we're talking about believing in all things, that's what love is. What it really is we're choosing to believe the best of others. And so even that idea of, you know, especially in the U.S., I guess, judicial system, you know, innocent until proven guilty, right? Innocent until proven guilty. That is this, right? We're not going to presume the worst of somebody. We're not going to think someone is guilty until we get all the facts, right? And I guess you go through this court process to find out if someone's guilty, right? You just don't hear something like guilty, guilty. And then we say you have to prove that you're innocent, right? That's not believing in all things. Oftentimes, instead of believing in all things, what do we naturally do, right? There's the natural fleshly thing to do. We actually, instead of believing the best in people, we believe the best about ourselves, right? We give ourselves the benefit of the doubt, and we think the worst in others. But the gospel teaches us instead to not give ourselves the benefit of the doubt, that we are to humble ourselves and instead to think the best of others. I know, I think this one is one of the hardest ones to do, right? This is one of the hardest ones to do. So what does it look like when we're saying we believe all things, as it is, and what does it look like in a relationship? So it means giving others the benefit of the doubt. It means we expect the best in people. This one is absolutely important and critical if you are a leader, if you are a pastor, right? And as you're dealing with people who are gonna make mistakes, who are imperfect, you need to believe the best in them. Really believe in them, right? This is really no different than what Jesus did for us, right? If he really didn't believe in us, that we could really turn things around, right? I don't think he would have died for us, right? And so even the cross, what he did, right? I mean, I think first of all, he had faith in what he was able to do, and because of what he was able to do, that we were able to also be redeemed, right? And so we really need to believe the best and think the best of people, that they can do it. They can change and transform. And why this is so important is it's also a reflection of our faith, right? This whole premise that we can believe in all things as it pertains to people, that they can change, right? They can change, that there is good. It's a reflection of what we believe in God. Because God has sanctifying power, right? He is able to touch people's lives. He is able to bring restoration and transformation. And to not even think, to think the worst of people also reflects what you think about God's capability to touch and transform as well. So we need to expect the best. We are able to overlook offenses and failures of others. We believe that over time, we can commit ourselves to one another. We are willing to trust one another. Yeah, that's tough, right? If someone's disappointed you, if someone hasn't met our expectations, the safe thing to do is to not give them any more chances, right? It's like, you know what they've done. They've proven themselves, seemingly, right? And based on their actions, it seems like they're confirming it. You know, I think maybe in our head, the wise thing to do is let's just not give any more chances. And maybe that's your choice, but I think what's very sobering and what's helpful is if that's where you're at, let's be honest with ourselves. You're not being loving. Because if we're talking about love, Paul says it means believing in all things. So what do we often do instead of believing all things? I'll just go through this. Like, don't feel condemned. Feel convicted. Even as I went through things, I'm like, this is me. This is me, right? Instead of believing all things, this is what we do. You're quick to expect others to fail. You don't believe that others will respond to things like they should. You doubt they are capable of doing what they promise. You believe they will fail. You believe they will fail you. And really, when we're talking about, you know, this failure to believe in all things, it's like this suspicion that you have of people, right? We suspect that others are being deceitful, hiding their true intentions and motives. You believe that despite someone's own word, that they are up to no good. It is marked by stewing inwardly, dissecting the actions and remarks of others, interpreting their every act. We anticipate being offended and prepare our rebuttals, right? Like, you haven't even had a conversation with somebody about something that you don't really understand, and you already think they're wrong. And so you're already thinking, oh, if they say this, because I know this is their excuse, I'm going to say this, right? And then this is where we kind of are too much in our heads, and we just go crazy. And then we anticipate being let down and prepare our scathing critique. We accuse the motives of others, assuming that their ultimate purposes are selfish, right? We're like, oh, so selfish, so self-centered. They're not thinking of me, right? That's why. And it might be true, but this is not loving, number one. And here's the thing I want to say. If you're not able to think the best of people, believe in all things, give them the benefit of the doubt, it's going to break your relationships. Really. This is absolutely critical for your relationships. Because if you're not thinking, there's either one way or the other, right? Which is you're either thinking the best of someone or you're thinking the worst. And so, speaking from personal experience, right, I've been married 11 years now. And living with somebody, doing life with somebody for that long, you experience all their shortcomings. And if those shortcomings are what you start to dwell on, right, then you're just going to presume the worst. And if you keep going down that route, right, eventually you're not even going to want to, you're going to close your heart, right, manage your expectations, and it probably will not work out. And I've fallen into that where like, oh, I'm really thinking the worst of somebody. I mean, not just what, this is all, any meaningful relationship that you start to invest time in, it's inevitable that you're going to be let down, whether it be intentional or not, and your expectations are not going to be met. In fact, this is often what I'm doing when I'm a pastor and talking to people, which is they come to me, they share all these grievances, and at first it's simple, but eventually it's not even that specific. It's like, oh, you know, this person, they did this. It's like not even that obvious. And that confirmed that they were basically being self-centered, selfish, bad. And then I always say, well, is this confirmed? They're like, huh? Like, oh, like, have you talked to the person? And I would say 9 out of 10 times the answer is no, right? And in which case, I'm like, talk to them. Can you confirm that this was, it's not so much what they did that's the problem. The problem is, based on what they did, the conclusion they drew on the person's intention, which is, see? And so I always have to ask them, the final question I ask them is, okay, do you still want to be friends with this person? Do you still want to do a relationship? If you don't, if you've already decided I'm done, then just be done. But if you want to continue to do relationship with this person, you need to talk to them. And in fact, I'm like, and then he's like, oh yeah, I've been trying and da 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 da. I'm like, no, you got to talk to them like now. Get this resolved right away. Don't pretend it's something not there. This is important to you. And I'm usually like, they probably don't even know what's going on. In fact, they're probably hurt because you're withdrawing yourself, right? Because you feel all this distrust, and so you started to act out. So this is absolutely critical in your relationships. And I want to say, it's completely understandable why we would not embrace this one. Among all the, like, what love is, like, we go, oh, love is patient, yes. Love is good, yes. Like, that one's good. But believe all things? Why don't we want to really embrace? Why do we kind of glaze over this one? Because I think this one is super risky. Super risky. Because if you really do this and give people the benefit of the doubt and really, and this word in Greek, it means faith and trust. And really to trust somebody, it's risky because the likeliness is then you're going to get hurt. Your expectations, like it's safer, like with my, like if I say with my wife, like maybe it would have been safer to not be so hopeful and so trusting and hope for the best in her. Because if I didn't do that and manage my expectations, then the level of hurt would not be so bad because I've already come to expect that. But is that really the type of love relationship you desire? A relationship that is managed expectations? Probably, hopefully, you want more, right? And here's the inspiration. And this is from C.S. Lewis. I haven't used this quote in a while, but I love this quote. It says, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. I'll throw in Netflix, Instagram, phone. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbearable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. And so how do we do that? That vulnerability is we have to believe in all things. We have to hope for the best in people. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Give people chances, right? And this is really no different than how Jesus has done relationship with us, given us chances over and over again. And at the end of the day, why can we believe all things is really because of God's redeeming and sanctifying power in not just our lives, but everyone's lives. Amen. I'd like to invite Sybil up. And I'm sure all of us, hopefully, you can identify with this one, to believe in all things. Because we've all been disappointed. We've all been hurt. We've all had our expectations not met by people. This is just what happens inevitably. And hopefully, maybe there's someone on your mind already that comes up, and now we can just be honest and say, you know, I don't think I've been loving the way I've thought about them, the way I've treated them, the way I see our relationship. I mean, I'm not losing my temper or anything. I'm not cursing them or anything like that. But I'm also not really loving them, right? I'm no longer giving them any chances. I am no longer hoping for the best. I'm really not even open to being friends at the moment. And if that's the case, let's acknowledge that in our hearts. Oh, yeah. And let's also align ourselves with God's truth. What does He desire for us? He wants us to love. He wants us to glorify Him by revealing His love in our lives. And that is the way we treat people, perceive people, and it's to believe all things. So let's go to God.
Staying humbled at your feet.
Yes, Jesus, just as you have done for us, we would do the same for others. And we just ask, Holy Spirit, you would help us to identify in our hearts when we are not believing in all things, in other people, when we're not demonstrating love in this way, when we are starting to be skeptical and cynical and suspicious of other people's motives, we would do something. We would pray. We would clarify by talking to people to understand. And instead of presuming the worst of people, instead of presuming someone is guilty, Lord, we would think the best first and then give people a chance. And we would clarify. We would not only make a presumption on people's intentions based on their actions, but we would confirm those intentions through communication, through relationship, Lord. And yeah, we just humble ourselves to do this, Lord. And we see, even as we go through this passage, how lacking we are in the way we love others. And we truly need your guidance and strength and help to be able to love like you do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's go to the screens and let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those who are dealing with cancer. Let's pray for God's provision and strength, whether it be physical, emotional, spiritual, for God's provision. Let's pray for God's encouragement, and let's pray for his healing. Let's also pray for our community and their friends, family who are suffering from any sort of illness, but also in need of word of salvation in their lives. Let's pray for God to open their hearts and just make use of any opportunities to speak to them, to speak the gospel into their lives. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from infirmities. Let's pray for their healing and strength. Let's also pray for those who are who have COVID right now. New addition is P. Sam's family, our senior pastor. They're in LA. They all have COVID right now. Also, Pastor Salamat and Mimi, who are also traveling and also have COVID. So let's pray for everyone on that list. Let's pray for healing, no lasting long-term symptoms or anything, that it would just be, they'd be fully and completely recovered. And also, please pray for the protection of the frontline medical workers. Let's also pray for our brothers who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for Sterling and Ian. Let's pray for God's open doors. Pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government, wealth gap, revival, churches, sports services, limited, Shanti, YWAM, Ga, catering, SND, Mother's Choice, Hong Kong Korean Church, students, domestic helpers, families, distress. Let's pray for our city. Also pray for the staff, P. Sam, P. Nay, P. Selma, P. Ken, P. Samuel, P. Ernie, Tim, Lisa, Mon, Rachel, Nan, Cadence, Caleb, Donald, Trish, Grace, Rachel, C., and Wesley and Ben. If you could pray for the staff, for unity, for purpose, for excellence. Let's also pray for the hospitality ministries, welcoming, led by P. Samuel, barista by Caleb, and logistics team led by Tim. Let's pray for the heart to serve, and that people would feel so welcomed and taken care of. Let's pray for the leadership as well, for direction and vision. Let's also pray for the worship and sound team led by P. Nate and Wes, and also the AV team led by P. Ken and Rachel C. Pray for also wisdom with where to take these ministries, you know, what kind of equipment to purchase, just ways to really take our worship service to God, take it to another level. Let's also pray for pregnancies at SP. Let's pray for Tayan and also Hina and others. Let's pray for the protection over baby and mom. Pray that they can really enjoy this time before things get crazier with another baby running around, and that, you know, the presence of God that would really minister to the mom's baby, the dad during this time. Let's also pray for Tuesday evening gatherings tonight. Let's pray for our discipleship class, helping without hurting. Let's pray for just a wonderful time of sharing and connecting and just being inspired by the material. Father God, we just, again, give thanks for today's word and this day that you have made, Lord. I just pray that we can love as we encounter and experience different relationships, whether it be our colleagues, our boss, the people we manage, our friends, spouses, parents, any relationship, Lord, that we could really live out what it means to love as you loved us, just as Paul describes what love is, and especially in regards to just believing the best in people, giving people chances, And you know, if even if trust has been broken, that we would be able to reestablish that trust and build it again, Lord. And yeah, we just confess that, you know, even this, to love as you desire for us to love, is not something that we can do in our own strength. So Holy Spirit, would you be the one to love, that we would be able to experience your love, but also you would give us the strength and ability to do the same, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.